We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky, coming to you from my home in New Athens, Illinois, and I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark, coming to you from my office at Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis.
Picturesque. Remember, that's what the AI says. It's picturesque.
Yes, and they've got it right. I look out the window across Francis Park. It's snow-covered hills here in South City. Yeah, it is picturesque, John. Cold though, and very cold.
Very cold.
As we record this, it's super cold. Hopefully, as our listeners are listening to this, things have warmed up and that snow has melted, and I see the green hills of Francis Park. We'll see.
Well, we're hoping at this point, and it will be sooner or later. It's got to, I think. We are wrestling with the basics. We were kind of concerned because we got the warning from the FBI about the fact that there are foreign agents who are listening into our conversations. And so we were reluctant. We were reluctant to do any more dumb jokes, lest they fall into the hands of the enemies. My wife pointed out, what's the worst that could happen? That they would hear our jokes and they would be rolling on the floor in laughter. Well, then we don't need to worry about them. They can't push the button to launch nuclear war if they're rolling on the floor laughing. And I thought, Lynn, you have not listened to any of our jokes, have you? It's probably not what's going to happen. But still...
But confusion, John, maybe just confusion that, you know, maybe we're not translating these jokes correctly because they're really not funny, you know, and maybe we just take up their time and try to translate. Surely this is loss of translation.
They're not funny. They must be some kind of secret code.
That's right. It's not possible that things on the airwaves could be this bad.
So anyway, whether the foreign agents are listening or not, we are honoring the 100th anniversary of KFUO Radio, the radio station that brought you the Three Stooges and Betty White at one point. And so now, as we've been doing, I think we'll try to do this once a month, not more, thank God, 100 seconds of dumb jokes. Have you got your timer ready?
I'm ready, John. And, you know, I think the founders of KFUO, they would appreciate this. This is this is exceeding their expectations.
They're rolling over in
this medium of radio technology and podcasts.
They're rolling over their graves. What have we wrought?
If we would have known this, what's going to happen?
That's right.
All right, John, my timer is ready. And whenever you're ready, yes.
You say go. Seconds. You say go.
Okay, I'm going to give you a countdown. 3, 2, 1, go.
I once heard a joke about amnesia, but I forgot how it goes. I got my paycheck and the envelope was full of parsley. Someone garnished my wages. I was so close to winning the world's most congested nose competition, but at the last minute, I blew it. I've been telling people about the benefit of eating dried grapes. It's all about raisin awareness.
Raisin awareness.
The next person that asks for pineapple juice, cranberry juice, lemonade, and a slice of orange in the same glass is going to get a punch. You have to deliver that with a little anger.
Yeah, I like that. That's okay. Good.
Because we are the number one Saturday morning Bible study amongst dentists. Dental
is that
workers.
Right? I marvel at the demographics that KFUO records. That's amazing.
Be kind to your dentist. He has fillings too.
Fillings too.
I used to think I was indecisive, but now I'm not sure. There's just been an explosion in the French cheese factory. Debris is everywhere. My wife wondered why I was wearing two jackets when I painted our house. I said, the instructions on the can clearly state, put on two coats. Sad to hear they're not making shortbread any longer. shortbread.
Got it. Any longer. Got it. Okay, it you up? Got 9 seconds, Sean. Okay. 9 seconds.
I decided to sell my vacuum. It was just gathering dust.
And we're done.
Yeah.
Those.
Oh, man.
Shortbread, yes. All right.
Any longer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I think that's
very nice. That was fun.
Yeah.
We're doing our patriotic duty in telling those jokes, John.
That's right. That's what it is. President Trump, we've done our part. That's right. 1 John 4, Matt, if you wouldn't mind. 1 John 4.
All right. Very good.
Yeah. So I must confess, I did this with Pastor Boo on Thy Strong Word.
Oh, okay.
So if anybody wants to go back and look over their archives, because all this stuff is available, of course, on your favorite podcast app and also on KFUO.org on the internet. But there were some things that, as you well know, it's hard that the Bible is so rich, and there were some things that we didn't get to talk about that I thought we could now share. This could have been a crossover episode. I didn't realize that.
Whoa.
We should have got Pastor Boo on here.
Yeah.
Because that's the big thing to do, crossovers.
Yeah. So, but I feel like this is the bonus material. So
that's right. That's
so for
right,
those who listened, you know, to your previously, broadcast study of this is the bonus material.
The bonus, so. Bonus material.
I love it.
Just like you used to get on the DVDs. We don't get that anymore. Right? Because we stream everything, but the DVD would always have the bonus material, the deleted scenes.
It was the good stuff. Yeah, deleted scenes, yeah. Bloopers, all sorts of stuff. Outtakes.
So,
we're the bloopers of Thy Strong Word.
That's right.
The outtakes.
That's exactly. We're the outtakes. the problem with 1 Corinthians chapter 1 John chapter 4, I was going back to last week's show that you were doing. So you got this business. Well, let me just have you read a few verses for us. Oh, my goodness. How come my Bible's not working? It's still stuck on your text.
I don't know,
well,
John.
Come here. There you go.
That's why you need a printed one like I use.
Yeah, your the paper ones wouldn't do that to you.
Fancy technology.
Yeah. So read if you would read just like read verse 1 and 2.
All right. So John writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God."
And then read verse 6 too.
Verse 6. "We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error."
So at the beginning of 1 John chapter 4, John has this extensive discussion about false doctrine, false teachers, and how we need to stick with the true teaching. And we know what the true teaching is. It's because what we read in the scriptures, that's what John's saying, what God has revealed in his word. That's how you know what's true and how you can distinguish error. But then all of a sudden in verse 7, read this if you would.
Okay. "A beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God."
And so all of a sudden, then he totally changes his theme, and now he's talking about loving people, loving the neighbor. So I'm going to throw the question out to you, because this is what we wrestled with, and it'll be interesting to see if you have yet another insight. Why? Why does John begin with his business about testing the spirits and avoiding false teachers? And then he turns around and talks about how we should be loving one another. Is there a relationship between those two teachings, you think, Matt?
Yeah, sure. I would say so. You know, I think in some ways, Paul's talking about almost like two litmus tests. You know, are you really followers of Christ Jesus, right? Are you really in the faith? And one is... That you confess that Jesus is the Christ that's come into the flesh, and yeah, you know that's genuine, right? That the Spirit isn't from the devil but from somewhere else, but no, from God. But then also another test is, do you really love your neighbor? that's also another sign of being in Christ. Do you really love your neighbor? Do you live that way in your life? And that's another way, you know, to be the fruits of faith, we might say. And so, yeah, you have the object of the faith, Jesus Christ, but then also the fruits that faith bears out, including and most especially perhaps is love for the neighbor. Again, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God.
So essentially then there are these two fundamental things of what it is to be a Christian. One, of course, is to believe in Jesus Christ according to the teaching of Holy Scripture. And the second thing then as a result of that is to love the neighbor around you. Is that what you're saying, Matt?
Yeah. Yeah. And, okay. You know, if someone doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, I don't think they're a Christian. But also, boy, is someone not loving their neighbor? Well, I don't know. Are they really a Christian, right? And I think of James as well, you know, this old idea of faith without works is dead. Yeah. Now, again, you know, loving the neighbor, that's not the reason for our salvation. You know, I'm not going to heaven because I really loved my neighbors really well. But, boy, it sure is a result of salvation, you know, having been saved in Christ and, you know, and God is the one who is love. I'm going to want to love my neighbor.
And I would say that what Pastor Boo and then what I said are very similar, running along the same lines. Pastor Boo's insight was, how do we know how to love the neighbor apart from what we're taught in the Holy Scripture? And his thought, that's the problem now. Actually, people don't believe that God is love, but they think love is God. And so they just kind of decide whatever it is they think mm-hmm. is the right thing to do. Well, that's the loving thing to do. But his point was, no, we actually have to go to God and say, well, what is the loving thing to do? Because we're sinful people. We don't know that apart from his word. And my thought was that, you know, if we get so wrapped up in true teaching, and we do need to be concerned about true teaching, but we also need to remember that we need to love people. And if all we're doing with true teaching is so that we can say, well, you know, we've got it right and you've got it wrong. Well, no, that's not what God wants either. The illustration I use is the Lord's Supper. I'm sorry, people who say that there's nothing there, that it's just symbolic. I cannot agree with that. But it's because of love. Because, my goodness, then you don't have the Lord's Supper to comfort you and encourage you. What you talked about last week, the fact that we know for certain that we're saved, because that's what God does, exceeding our expectations. And certainly you can't get any more powerful than that, than Jesus saying to me, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. So I fight for the real presence, not because I want everyone to know how smart I am. Like that would ever happen. But again, out of love. So all right. I think we're all agreed there is kind of a natural combination between those two. Yeah. The thing that I didn't get to talk about that I wanted to pick up with you, however, is go back, if you would read again, please, that verse 1.
You bet. Yeah. Okay. Again, John writes, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world.
And what I had, I knew, and I don't know why it didn't come to my mind at that point, is that in the church, we've always distinguished between the false teachers, as John illustrates here, the false prophets, he calls them. We always distinguish between the false teachers, prophets, and those whom they've misled. And they shouldn't be treated the same. So the example I thought of was from Paul in Romans and in Colossians, where they had these people that thought, well, we shouldn't be eating meat offered to idols, right? And mm-hmm. and Paul tolerates that. He goes along with them. When he's with them, he says, okay, well, I won't eat that meat either. And yet, on the other hand, there were these false prophets, these false teachers. And says, oh, well, yeah, if you do that, you're going to go to hell. That's an incredible, terrible sin to do that. And in the face of those teachers, no, he was quite clear, saying, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day. And the reason I wanted to bring this up, because I think it's something we need to remember, that the way we treat false teaching and those who propagate false teaching is different than the way we teach people that have been misled. And if I could give you a concrete example, we try to avoid controversy here on Wrestling with the Basics. This might be a little controversial, and indeed I invite our listeners to test the spirits. If I'm wrong in this, please, and I invite you too, Matt, to correct me if I'm wrong. But I think about the topic of abortion, okay? Mm-hmm. And there are people out there that teach, well, you know, it's your choice, right? It's your body.
Oh, yeah.
It's your choice.
Most definitely.
But you see, that's, I'm sorry. If that's how we live our lives, that, well, it's whatever, it's good for me. That's what makes it right. That's what makes it, quote, loving, unloved. No, that's not how it works. Certainly not for us as Christians. You know, Jesus is going to the cross and he has a choice, right? He prays, Father, take this cup away from me. That's probably what my flesh would prefer. I don't really look forward to getting beaten and nailed and all of that and mocked and spat upon. But not my will, thy will be done. Because now the love thing that we talked about, and we'll get back to that in just a moment. The love thing is not what's good for me, but what's good for the people around me. That's how I need to make my decisions. So I don't know. But see, on the other hand, I think most people that get abortions aren't getting abortions because they want to show everyone it's my body and it's my choice. I think they've got all kinds of struggles and trials going on, and they don't really know what to do. And they probably feel kind of forced into doing this. I can't imagine anyone really wants to get an abortion, but for whatever reason, they don't think they have another choice. Am I wrong there, Matt, in making that distinction?
No, I don't think so, John. And I, as you're talking, you know, one of the things that comes to my mind is Jesus. Jesus just, you know, for those, you're talking about a distinction between those who are maybe misled and the ones who are doing the misleading, right?
Yes.
And boy, you know, I think Jesus does too, because when he addresses the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those who are misleading, he lets them have it. You know, you whitewash sepulchers, you whitewash graves, and you know, you strain the gnat and swallow the camel, you know, and he doesn't hold back. But then I think about the people that Jesus is, the people that the Pharisees and others are misleading, right? Have been misled. And those are the crowds so oftentimes. And one of the verses that came to my mind is Jesus there in Matthew 9, he sees the crowds and he has compassion on them because they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, right? And I think that's so often the case today for those who have been misled, whether it comes to abortion or other things. Boy, they're just sheep without a shepherd. And, you know, I see that more and more as a pastor, is just this, people just don't know the basic truths of God's word. They really don't. And I think sometimes as pastors, we overestimate, you know, what people know about God's word. And I'm not saying that in a boastful way. I'm saying that we need to do what Jesus did, have compassion upon them, you know, because I think sometimes as pastors, I slip into, they should know better. And sometimes, boy, people just don't know better, John. And I know the law is written on our hearts. So yeah, I grant that. But so many, I think, are just like, they're just sheep without a shepherd. And sadly, sometimes they're misled by a false shepherd, or as John puts it, a false prophet.
I really, man, Matt, thank you, because I was resting, because I test the spirits all the time. I hope people realize that that's what we pastors do. We don't just spout whatever idea pops into the top of our head. We're constantly looking to the Holy Scripture, looking to the Bible. Is this what you teach, Lord? Is this what, because I don't want to give people lies. I want to give them the truth. And you gave the perfect illustration, the way Jesus treats those that are the sinners that are harassed and don't have a shepherd, as opposed to those who claim that they know everything and they have all the absolute truth. So that's a beautiful illustration of how, again, people need to be treated differently. This brought two other things to my mind. See, I think I always get uncomfortable when people start preaching the law and it only applies to other people and doesn't apply to them. And again, I think we see that in Jesus, right? Jesus says, oh, you've heard you shall not kill. And we're thinking, yeah, murderers, oh, they're evil, they're wicked. And they just says, well, of course, if you're angry with your brother, you're liable for judgment. You've heard you shall not commit adultery. Oh, yeah, Jesus, we know what you're talking about. Adulterers, oh, man, that's just horrible, terrible things. Well, you know, if you've lusted after a woman, you're an adulterer in your heart.
Yep.
So I always think it's, and that's what I like about this, what I just said. So, because we all wrestle with that, don't we? We all wrestle with the fact that we kind of make decisions not on the basis of love and what's good for the other guy, but pretty much what's going to be good for me. That's something that not just people who get abortions, but all of us have to wrestle with and deal with, and calls upon us then to seek the source. How can we change that? And we're going to talk about that in just a moment, but one more thought. And again, I might be wrong, so you check me out here, Matt. I wonder if you were to ask people non-church members, would they say that the church is a loving or a judgmental institution? What do you think people would say today, Matt?
Oh, John, yeah. I think, you know, just your common run-of-the-mill person, you know, from what they, you know, and I think in general, boy, judgmental, sadly, at least here in the United States. And even if that perception's false, you know, that's still the perception.
So the thing that I was thinking of in the old days, if someone was wrestling with an unwanted pregnancy, as a church, we said, well, if your concern is for hospital care, we operated hospitals. We'll take care of that. That's not an issue. If the concern was, and I think this is a really big problem, I think a lot of times it's not the woman, it's the significant other, and she's yep. afraid what will happen, and I'll lose him or whatever, and so I kind of feel like I have to do it. But, you know, we used to have places where unwed mothers could go, and they'd be cared for, and they'd protected until the baby was born. And if they really did think that they couldn't care for the baby, if that's the issue, I don't have... We had these wonderful adoption agencies, so they would know, okay, this is a good, loving family that's going to take them. And for whatever reason, we're not doing that anymore. And I know that there's economic reasons behind it. But I think this exhortation that we have from John here, that we should love, man, I think the church needs to take that seriously and start doing these kind of things. I'm not saying we shouldn't be saying abortion is wrong. It is. It's a horrible, terrible thing. But we need to be doing things. Now, here's my final question. My hope is that it's still going on at a congregational level and at a personal level. Is my hope wrong in that, Matt? Even though maybe as an institution, we're not doing these things the way we used to. Do you think it's still going on at a congregational and a personal level?
I sure hope so, John, because, you know, and I don't think we can count, especially just if we're going to just focus on abortion in particular for a little bit, I don't think we should just as the church and as Christians count on the government, right? You know, if we just, if abortion would just be illegal, then we've won, problem solved.
Yeah, no, it isn't.
And no, you know, we've seen that state by state, how they've taken votes, and including Missouri, abortion's been... you know, legalized. So I think the task of the church then is to be, you know, not just to seek to make abortion illegal, but to make it, some say, unthinkable, you know, that even if it is legal, no, I'm not going to have an abortion. And part of making abortion unthinkable is teaching the truth of God's word and the value of human life, most definitely. But in addition to that, making it unthinkable is the church surrounding those vulnerable women and boyfriends and whoever with such love and care that they don't have to have an abortion. They would know that if I choose to have this baby, even if I'm a 17-year-old mother, whatever the case is, the church is going to be there. There will be people there who are going to love and support me and care for me. And I don't have to think about abortion now because I know I've got this, I'm going to be loved and cared for. So is my child. And so I think you're right, John. You know, part of the church's task is caring for whoever that is, the vulnerable, the one who is considering abortion, to know that, the church isn't going to be a place of just judgment, but a place of love and care and compassion. And that's not to say we don't preach the truth. We do. We call a spade and sin a sin, but to surround them with love and care and compassion. And you know, I pray the churches do that today in a variety of ways.
And so we're back to where we started, which is what you said. These are the two things. Yeah. So we can't do like the world. We can't say, oh, well, abortion, it's not that big a deal. It's just a fetus or what. No, we can't say that. My God, we know it's a human. You know, maybe 100 years ago when we didn't know anything about science, we might have said that. But we have all that. We know what's there. That's no doubt about it. It's human. And they used to think it was a lizard. And then you know, it went through all kinds of evolutionary things. And we know that was just foolishness. But you're right. At the same time, we need to say, we don't want you to have abortion. We'll do whatever is possible so that you can have this child, and we'll love and care for you, just like John exhorts us to do, that we need to love one another, for love is from God. And so I have just one final point then, because again, that goes against our grain. It's so much easier just to tell people what they're wrong, but to actually take the time and effort to love and care for people, no, that's really, really hard. So here's how love comes to us. The one thing that impressed me also about this chapter 4, if there's anybody out there that wants to exhort someone to do what's right, John gives you the perfect picture of how to exhort people to do what's right, because he addresses us over and over again in this chapter 4 as the beloved. That's the favorite title he used. So you need to realize, and this, you said this earlier, so it's not like we're going to do this so we will be loved by God, we're doing this because we already know we are the beloved. In fact, one other thing that John does here is he calls us little children, and it's one of my favorite words in the Bible, because there is a generic word for children, you know, so anybody that's of a certain age, but there's also this word technon, and it's the word that John uses, and that's for my child, right? I've got a school a block away from me. It's filled with children, hundreds of children. There is only one technon, though, in that building. That's my granddaughter, Lauren. I used to have a bunch of technons down there, but they've all graduated. but I still have my granddaughter, Lauren. And then if you could read just a couple of verses here. Verse 10. Read verse 10. This will tell people how they can be loving. Verse 10.
Yeah, again, John writes, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins."
So that's the thing. See, again, your sins are taken care of, so you don't need to do this to take care of your sins. In fact, that would be an insult to Jesus, who is already the propitiation for our sins. He's done the redemption. That's all taken care of. And I like this other one, too, if I can find it here. Verse 17.
Yeah. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love.
So again, we don't have to do this because we're afraid, oh, what, God's going to punish us if we don't do this. No. That's the thing. We have our propitiation. There's no fear for, because we have the perfect love of Jesus Christ. Nothing has not been covered over and redeemed. He's done it all. So there's no fear. And we can just do as John says. Read verse 19. This is the great finish for this study. Verse 19.
All right. We love because he first loved us.
Yeah. So thank you for letting me share my thoughts about this. And I really appreciate your summary. Two things, people. You just trust the word of God. And what is the word of God? That Jesus Christ came to save sinners. That's the word of God. That's the promise we have. No fear. We have his love. And so now, as John exhorts us here, let us love one another. Thank you for joining us here at Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.